blinked at that, and then moved on. Pay would be 5 gold a year. 7. 6, and I'll pay off whatever the bounty is on your ass, Alex said, leaning to one side of his chair and resting his chin in his hand. Huh. How long is the job?
Permanent. I'd essentially employ you till you die of old age or on duty.
And I get to kill people? Like this one? Nanny said, pointing at the still bleeding body.
In the line of duty, yes. For pleasure, no.
Nanny ran her tongue over her teeth and looked to one side.
Okay.
I can do that, she said, looking back to him. Bounty is kinda high. You sure you can pay it?
How high are we talking?
300 gold, Nanny said indifferently.
Oh, that's not too bad, really. 2's was higher.
You're to work for me as a bodyguard. Job duties are simple. Keep me alive, keep yourself alive, and that's about it. Basically, make sure no harm befalls me, from you or others. You'll get 2 days off a week when 2 is working, and you'll have 2 days where you work alone while she has days off, Alex explained. Any questions?
Nah, seems simple. I get a guard kit like her, Nanny said, pointing at Carla.
Sure, if you can scrounge one up. I didn't give 2 those, Alex said evenly.
Now that we've agreed on the terms of the job, I think it's time we talked about more interesting things, Alex said with a smile at her.
I ain't sleeping with you, Nanny said, her face immediately turning towards distaste.
No, but for 300 gold, you won't be sleeping with anyone else either. I'll have you celibate, to the point that you're not even holding another man or woman's hand, or even yourself, for that matter. Clean and pure as undriven snow going forward. Unless I give you permission, that is. But I digress and get ahead of myself. As someone in my employ, I'm going to have deals to offer you from time to time, Alex said, starting into his spiel. It's rather simple. I offer you something and ask a price. You can say no, and no harm will befall you in any shape, way, or form. Nor will any previous deal be impacted, or any future deals.
So you could offer me 50 gold to split me in half on your bed, and I could say yes or no?
Nanny asked, her brow furrowing.
Yep.
And you wouldn't be mad if I told you to fuck yourself?
Nope.
Huh. Okay.
And that's my price for paying your bounty. You becoming a nun, so to speak.
Fine. I can do that. The guards have been getting too close to me lately. Wasn't going to be able to run much longer, at least in the city. Would have turned into a ground pounder in a jail cell with as many sweaty meat sacks they could get in a day, then hanged after they finished playing with me, Nanny said with distaste.
I would hope not. I've gone on a crusade to flush those types out of Brit.
Wasn't talking about Brit.
Alex was thankful for that. He really had gone a bit wild on his own guards.
So, do we have a deal?
Sure, yeah. Swear it on my soul and life or whatever on my oath. So, when do we eat?
Kinda hungry. Craving steak if you got it, Nanny said.
I'll have my maid feed you this time for free. Otherwise, your meals will be up to you, Alex said with a smile. He already knew what the next deal for Nanny was going to be. Then she stooped down next to the dead woman and started going through her pockets.
Already shit herself. Ugh, Nanny said.
Alex mentally sighed. They weren't going to get any information off a dead person, and he doubted she'd have anything on herself that would identify her or who she worked for.
Not even a single coin, Nanny grumbled, and punched the dead woman's side. Bum.
Chapter 20.
Alex looked out at the plain beneath his defenses. Valeria stood next to him. Carla, Nanny, and Riley stood nearby, looking out across the same view. They were just out of earshot, he figured. As soon as he'd been able, Alex had volunteered his people as a screening force and raced towards his desired location, so he could secure this exact spot.
The people he'd sent ahead had done an admirable job of erecting exactly what he'd asked for, to the point that Max and David had suggested awarding them all extra portions of ale. Ale was apparently almost as fiercely prized as coin while at war. Who was Alex to judge? Tanulf had arrived the night previous and settled into the position he'd wanted. For all intents and purposes, it seemed as if today would be the first touch of combat. With any luck, the last as well. There'd been a minor situation with the count on Alex's right flank being perturbed at the lack of space for him to get into formation, as a result of which Alex had happily pulled his conscripts in as a second line and let the man have that lower section of the hill.
"Master?" Valeria asked.
"Sorry, Three. Lost myself there. I wanted to talk to you a while back, you'll remember," Alex said, turning to face the woman.
"Yes?"
"I hadn't forgotten, just hadn't had the time. Now seems oddly appropriate."
Valeria didn't respond. She was wearing a form-fitting dress and seemed partially ill at ease, as if unused to being on the front line of battle, playing to her role of campwoman.
When it came to her role as his doxy, she played it well. He admired her ability to get into character and stay there.
"You've been doing well as both actress and,
I have no term for it, actually, thief-taker? Assassin's assassin?" Alex asked, looking to Valeria for help. Valeria shrugged her shoulders.
"Doesn't matter."
"Well, you've been doing well, but I don't think this role fits you, nor do I think you particularly enjoy it. Is that fair?"
Valeria's nose wrinkled, and her hands folded into one another in front of herself.
"Not entirely, no, Master. Fieldwork isn't my forte. Never was, never will be," she admitted.
"Then I have an offer, one tailored specifically for you. I want you to hire an apprentice for yourself, someone you can train to take up your fieldwork. You'll remain at my side, of course, but no longer working both roles."
Valeria nodded her head at that, her eyes drifting to the side.
"It'd help make it easier. Though I think it would be better with three. One for going out, one for remaining in, and one in reserve," Valeria said, her eyes flicking back up to him.
Two more than I wanted, but I suppose we could come to a price for those extra two. Especially since it would be problematic if you were to find yourself having to choose between me and your old master.
"Would you barter with me?" Alex said, grinning at her.
Blinking twice, Valeria finally nodded her head. "I'll have you hire three to train up exactly as you said. They'll swear the same oaths of fealty and privacy you have. Their pay will be negotiable, and I'll let you settle that with them, since they'll be reporting to you. Just make sure you keep their prices reasonable. As for you, what I want is rather simple. I want you in my bed one night a week."
"That seems not quite fair. You want me to train people, only to pay you with myself?" Valeria asked, her cheeks coloring faintly.
Alex grinned at her. "I promise to make sure we first cater to your needs when you spend the night with me, in whatever way you see fit. Did I mention I found quite a rather nice riding crop? It was a little pricey, but I think it'll have a good snap to it. I splurged, and also got you a lovely little bite guard that looks like it'll have a nice mouthfeel."
Valeria tilted her head to one side, watching him curiously.
"You are a very strange person, Master," she said finally. "Really, whatever I want first?"
"Well, so long as it only involves you, me, and maybe another numbered, then yes. Though I do reserve the right to refuse if it's simply too much. For example, cutting off bits of you is outside of my comfort zone, but I'd be all right laying a blade to your skin if that's what you wanted."
Valeria turned her head the other way, as if seeing him from a different perspective would tell her something else.
"Fine. I accept your deal as you stated it. Three to train, and my preference on activity before I get in your bed as your doxy. I do so swear."
"Agreed, accepted, and sworn,"
Alex said with a grin. Now, how about you? A distant horn interrupted him. Looking over, Alex saw the enemy army stomping their way forward.
There it is, then, Alex murmured.
Carla, Nanny, and Riley all came over to peer out. Then Carla grabbed him by one arm and dragged him off.
Time to sit yourself down. You gave the strategy to be followed. Let the professionals handle the battle, Carla said.
Yes, Master. Come to the tent with me. Relax, Riley said charmingly, taking his arm in hers and wrapping herself around it.
Fine, fine. Nanny, you stay with me. 2, 3, you can consider this involuntary time off for an hour or two, Alex said, letting Riley lead him off.
Alex had lasted all of 5 minutes sitting in his tent before going back out to watch from an elevated position of safety with the archers. Though he couldn't see much, he could see enough. The enemy army did truly seem to be the elites on their side of the conflict. From the brief glimpses he saw of them when they reached the summit, they appeared quite well armed and armored.
Right before they went tumbling down the hill, from spear thrusts and sword strokes from his troops.
As far as Alex could tell, the enemy had badly underestimated his troops. They'd expected to just swarm up the hill and overrun them, as if they weren't even there. At some point, Max had taken control of a troop of the heavy foot soldiers in reserve and rushed around the far side of the defensive hook. It was a solid move, and Alex approved of it as he watched it happen. He'd even told Max to look for an opportunity like this to flank their far edge and begin rolling them up in front of the battle line. The rumble and growl of fighting had long since been tuned out, and Alex heard it not at all.
Master, is it going well?
Riley asked, her fingers hooked into his sleeve.
As well as it could be, I suppose. Really doesn't matter much to us anymore. We prepared a nearly unassailable position that just isn't something they can take in a straight fight, Alex said. They'd have to overwhelm our people, which, honestly, won't happen. Maybe if they were conscripts or under-trained, then sure.
David nodded his head in agreement, yet said nothing.
This seems not very worthwhile, Riley said,
her eyes turning down to the ground.
Such a tender-hearted thing.
War usually is. It's the worst-case scenario when politics fails, Alex agreed.
My lord, I'd like to switch some men out with the conscripts. It'd give them a chance to blood themselves and give some of the men a break, David said.
That's fine, and a good idea. Maybe some of those very same peasants might find soldiering the life for them, Alex said with a smirk.
David left without another word.
Master, can't we go back to the tent?
Riley pleaded.
I don't think I should, Juan. My place may not be on the field itself, but it's better if I'm at least visible, Alex said, giving her a smile.
It'll be all right. This has already been going on for a while. Unless the enemy really are fools, they'll have to pull off sooner rather than later. They're simply losing too many men.
From the far side of his line, a sudden commotion got Alex's attention. Frowning from where he stood, he peered off towards the disturbance.
Nanny, could you—
Alex started.
On it,
said the woman, not bothering to hear the full order. She set off at a jog, a short sword slipping free of her sheath and practically appearing in her hand.
I wonder what it could be, Alex mused.
Maybe it's Max, Riley asked.
Maybe. I imagine he's still pressing hard on their flank, though. The enemy isn't to be taken lightly, and I imagine they've been flanked before in their careers. A number of men on horses came up over the crest of the hill, slipping through the conscripted peasants who had been put there as a defensive reserve.
Ah, it's my special garbage collector team, Alex said with a grin. Let's go see what they managed to pry free from our esteemed enemies.
Alex waved at the lead horseman and then pointed towards his command tent. Nanny came back looking mildly annoyed, her sword sheathed.
There was no reason to advertise what the spoils were quite yet. All the horsemen followed along, arranging themselves in a loose formation. Alex stood in front of them with a smile, looking to someone to step forward and tell him the results. Eventually, two men with full helmets on made their way towards Alex. They were lugging a large, two-handled chest between themselves. Reaching Alex, they dropped it with a resounding thud. One opened the lid, while the other stood there with his hands on his hips. Inside was a glittering mess of gold and silver.
"Ha! What the hell did you do? Rob a chest from their pay wagon?" Alex asked, looking to the two men with a grin.
"Better. We took a pay wagon itself," said the man on the left as he unbuckled his helmet. "Six more chests like this inside it."
Hooking his helmet to his belt, the young man gave Alex a grin. There was a strange resemblance to David that Alex couldn't quite place. All the features were the same, but younger. Brother, perhaps?
"If I remember right, I offered a 20% finder's fee on items like this," Alex said, closing the chest. "Let's say, pick a chest for yourselves. Then we'll count up another and give you 1/4 of that for you and your men. Fair?"
As if his smile couldn't get any wider, the man nodded his head. Behind him, the horsemen were getting down off their mounts.
"That's not all, though," said the man.
Looking back to his group, he waved at them.
"I do believe you had a price on unharmed gentry and generals as well."
Squirming sacks with feet sticking out of them were carried into Alex's tent.
"Consider me beyond impressed. I didn't catch your name," Alex asked.
Men like this needed to be employed as quickly as possible.
"Daniel, sir. Daniel Harrell." "Stick around, Daniel. I'll have a use for you later. I'll tally up your prisoners and add their worth to the chest we'll be divvying up. Remember, secrecy is the name of the game here," Alex said. With a nod, he turned and entered the tent, eager to find out whom he'd caught.
Six writhing sacks lay on the ground. Four wore what looked like well-cobbled shoes, and two were in boots.
"Good afternoon," Alex said.
Turning to the side, he motioned at Riley and Nanny to get the tent flap.
"My name is Alex Britt, Count Britt. You've all been taken as prisoners of war under my domain and control. Don't bother trying to say anything just yet. I'll be interviewing you all privately. If you're a high-value prize, you'll receive fair treatment. If you're not..."
Alex left the statement open, letting their own fears fill in the blank. Realistically, he'd just turn them over to Duke Tenulf if they didn't serve his purpose, but there was no reason to tell them that.
"I look forward to speaking with you, one and all," Alex said. "We can..."
"Sir,"
Daniel said, speaking through the closed tent flap.
"Yes, Daniel?"
"Sir, they're retreating from the field."
"That's good news. Any reason why?"
"I think they noticed their entire camp was on fire."
"Oh, yes. I imagine that'd be a cause for concern."
"Good. Have David rotate the men out, get the wounded evacuated, a meal in everyone, and enough water to drown a fish. This might not be over."
"Yes, sire."
Alex turned back to the sacks, sacks that now seemed considerably less active.
"Well, that's interesting. I suppose the good Duke will call me in for a staff meeting shortly. We'll have to make this quick. If you're of the peerage, go ahead and curl up into the fetal position for me," Alex said. Two sacks immediately did so. "Nanny, could you set those two aside for me, preferably back near my bed area? I'll need to interview them first before the meeting, I imagine."
"Okay, next, who's in the military?"
Two more sacks curled up.
"Put those on the other side of the tent. Far side, that is. It's big enough to house a family of six, anyways. Might as well use the entirety of it. Either you or two need to watch over them, Nanny. I'm sure one can keep an eye on them if you want to go track two down real quick."
"You and your damn numbers," Nanny growled.
"The other two, leave them there for now. You're in charge of those, one.
Oh, and if you find three while you're out there, send her my way.
Alex waved his hand at them as he spoke. Then he trailed after Nanny as she dragged the two sacks back towards his bed.
Gah, fucking meat sacks, Nanny said,
then pushed at one of them with her boot, sliding them towards his bed.
Gonna go find that dumb cunt so I'm not alone in this. You got it for now?
Indeed. Do be nice to two. She might take your head off, and I'd have to hire a new murdering psychopath, Alex said, sitting down in a chair nearby.
She can try, Nanny said, then left.
Well then, Alex said, and reached down to the closest sack. Let's get you open and have a chat. The sack fell completely immobile as Alex began unwinding the cord around the feet. Pulling the sack open, he reached in and grabbed a leg. A bare leg. With Alex pulling while he stepped on the sack with one foot, the captured party started to move. The bottom part of the person slid out, which was a pair of legs in a dress that had slid all the way up to her hips.
Ah, sorry about that, Alex said.
Getting out of his seat, he pulled the sack up and over the woman the rest of the way, rather than yanking her out. Bound, gagged, and clearly angry, a young woman a few years younger than himself glared up at him. Light brown hair, bordering on a dark blonde, framed her face in a lovely and natural-looking way. She had fine features and an elegant look to her. She was pretty in her way, though certainly not beautiful. Her figure was on the better side, though, with a nice curve to her body. Her green eyes had enough heat in them to make him catch fire. That disposition didn't improve as he obviously inspected her.
Let's start with being civil to one another. I'm Alex Britt. You're safe, and I'd love to have a conversation with you. Shouting would be inconducive to that, and we'll be forced to go down a different road if you do that, Alex said. Reaching down, he carefully slid the gag out of her mouth and down to her neck.
And you are? Alex asked, sitting back down fully in his chair.
Huffing angrily at him, she shifted around on the ground. Baroness Mary Margaret Tilly, she said, lifting her chin slightly.
Ah, I see. Who's the other one? Alex said, pointing to the other sack.
My niece, said the Baroness.
Great. Who's in charge of Duke Galus's right flank?
My uncle, Count Frennis.
Carla came over and looked to the woman on the ground, then Alex.
Two, could you pack up that sack over there and hand it off to Riley?
She's nobility, but minor, Alex said, looking up at his bandit bodyguard.
I'll deal with her after the Baroness here.
Carla looked to the woman, then the sack, and then back to Alex. She grunted, then grabbed the booted foot of the niece and dragged the squirming sack off.
Alex looked back to Mary and gave her a smile. They were now alone and separated enough that he could start his spiel.
Well, I'd say your uncle is falling back to salvage what he can of your camp, let alone figure out his next move, Alex said, spreading his hands out in front of himself.
I can't speak for the rest of the battle, but this fight did not go in your favor.
Mary had been trying unsuccessfully to pull her dress down to a more dignified position and cover her underwear and legs.
And what does that have to do with me? She asked.
Not much, I suppose, other than that you're my prisoner. We can discuss terms for your ransom or terms for your captivity. Do you think your husband would be more interested in paying before or after the war ends? Alex asked.
Mary gave him a strange look, then slumped into the ground, giving up on her dress.
He'll not pay a penny for me, not when I can't give him a damn heir. He might pay you for my niece, though, she said with a bitter smile.
Oh, is that the play here?
No attention at home, disgraced, unvalued. She has no worth in her own eyes for a failure of her body that's beyond her control. It's a simple thing, then. Offer her attention, care, affection. We can have her turned around rather quickly.
The first time might be awkward, but I bet it wouldn't be after that.
I suppose we'll just have to find another form of payment, then, Alex said with a smile. Leaning forward, he took hold of her dress and carefully pulled it down until it covered her modestly. I'm sure we could come to some kind of arrangement for your release, dependent on, well, you. Mary's eyes narrowed as she looked at him.
I take it this is where I'm expected to not resist, while you take me by force?
Mary asked, her voice subdued. Not in the least. On the contrary, in fact, it's where we barter for your release, like gentlefolk, Alex said. I take it you'd like to be released.
Yes, Mary said.
Great. Then we already have a desired outcome. Now we just have to dicker on the price. Do you need a horse as well?
That'd be preferable, Mary said, sounding unsure.
A horse and going free. Is that the extent of your ask?
Yes, though I'd like my niece as well.
Let's focus on you first for now.
All right, she said uneasily.
Wonderful. Now, my price. First, an oath of secrecy to me and mine, that you'll not reveal anything you discover here, nor will you act on anything you know after having been here. It wouldn't be wise to return you with information after all, now would it?
I could swear to that.
On your life and soul, to Leah, Alex clarified. Mary opened her mouth once, then closed it, as if thinking better about what she wanted to say.
Then, I swear on Leah to safeguard your privacy and everything I might learn while in your camp, both on my life and soul, she said finally.
Great. I accept your oath. Now, I'd love to let you free, as if nothing were the matter, in fact. But I just can't do that. Not for nothing, at least.
Okay, said the Baroness.
To set you loose, with a horse, I'd like to have dinner with you. Get to know you a bit more. Learn about you as a person. Spend some time together. Entertain you as a woman of your stature and grace deserves. Then take you to bed when it's all said and done, and give you the attention a woman of your beauty is due. In the morning, I release you, fit as a fiddle, all your possessions as they are, plus a horse.
Mary didn't say anything. She merely watched him.
It's a fairly simple transaction, and I promise to treat you like a gentleman would throughout, as a lady such as yourself should be entitled to, Alex said with a smile at her.
I don't think you understand how badly my people need me. My husband and my uncle aren't...
She paused, as if realizing what she was saying. If anything, I'd be more inclined to keep you here for what it's worth, Alex admitted. But color me interested, at least a bit. I'd like to know you, your thoughts, your abilities. You, really. To know Mary. And then know you in a far more carnal way tonight.
Just like that, then? You'd let me loose tomorrow morning for that price?
That'd be the deal. Or you could say no, and nothing untoward would happen to you. You'd be treated as a noble prisoner of war, and be given all the proper courtesies of your station. And you have my word and oath on that.
Mary finally broke eye contact and looked to her feet. No one would know? She asked, not looking up. About our deal?
Only you, me, and maybe a few of my personal assistants, who are all sworn to secrecy and loyalty. On Leah, for their souls and their lives.
Mary shook her head slowly. Then I guess we have a deal.
Chapter 21 Alex watched as Baroness Tilly rode down the side of their fortification and towards the far flank of both armies.
She any good? Nanny asked, scratching at her chest.
Shrugging his shoulders, Alex couldn't say much about it. Mary hadn't been experienced, enthusiastic, or even much more than lukewarm, but what she had been was intrinsically worth quite a lot in his deals. Unable to help himself, Alex pulled the black crystal from his pocket and glanced into it again.
Not a bit of light reflected through it. Her deal cost her significantly and gained her very little. I'm betting her uncle and husband won't be that happy to see her. It's what he'd been betting on when he'd heard her husband didn't value her. Trying to get back to a man who didn't care about you, and giving yourself away in the process, had to be an action of beggaring oneself to the very core. Or so Alex had figured, and could now confirm. And if we did it right and fed her more attention than she's ever received before, we might be able to get her back on the hook for more. After all, we treated her as if she were our beloved wife, whom we missed terribly, that we were happy to see and to hold. She wasn't into it, but she wasn't against our attentions either in the end. She was well worth it, is what I would say, Alex said.
Seemed a bit dead fish to me. Lay there, unmoving kind of thing, Nanny said. Your tastes are messed up. I mean, you bed the nasty cunt over there, don't you?
Looking to where Nanny was pointing, he saw Carla talking with Riley and Valeria.
That I do, and I look forward to it every time, Alex said, then looked back just in time to see Mary disappear around a curve in a low hill. She was officially on her way, and he'd followed his word and kept his promise. Now he could enact the second part of his plan in good faith.
Daniel? Alex asked, turning to one side.
Sire? Said the man, stepping forward. Did you manage to steal any uniforms?
We did. Only a handful, though.
Enough to outfit 5 or so?
Could be. Sounds about right.
Did our guests ever get a look at your face?
No, sir. I wore my helmet the entire time.
Grand. I want you to find 4 people you trust to take on a mission. I'll pay you each 15 gold if you complete it as well, Alex said.
Motivation is always key to drive a priority.
I can do that, sire, Daniel said.
Good. Your task is simple. When the battle starts today, I want you to have a number of your people dressed in enemy uniforms chased by a number of people in our uniforms.
Right up to the enemy picket line, Alex said, laying out the plan he wanted carried out. Rush through. Tell anyone who asks you have an important message for Baroness Tilly, for her ears only. When you finally get to her, tell her that her niece escaped and is hiding nearby. She won't leave her position without seeing the Baroness, though, as she trusts no one but her.
Daniel frowned in incomprehension.
When you get her out into the field, bring her back here. In a sack if you have to, but preferably not.
Alex grinned at the man as understanding dawned on his face.
I understand, sire. I'll get it done, Daniel said with a sharp salute.
Nodding his head, Alex turned back to the enemy force across the way. Then we'll offer her the same deal as last time. She'll take it again, I imagine, and we'll get her paid up twice for the same thing. And if I'm lucky, she'll be willing this time, since we treated her like a loved and cared-for wife. Alex couldn't help but grin.
You're a shit, Nanny said with a dark chuckle. Let her go just to capture her again?
Don't worry, Nanny. Soon enough you'll be responding to 5, Alex said. You'll understand then.
What? Fuck you!
Eventually, I suppose, in the fullness, a man with an overly important air caught Alex's attention.
And what peacock have they sent me now? Alex muttered.
Seeming to preen himself at the attention, the man came over to Alex and held out a messenger tube to him.
Your orders, Count Alex. See that you follow them, said the man.
Then he left without giving Alex a chance to say a word.
I take that back. You're just an ass. That guy was a shit, Nanny said.
Fair. Still going to get you, eventually, 5. Alex popped open the tube and reached in to pull out his orders. Internally, he'd finally figured out how to maneuver Nanny into position to become a number. Treat her as if she already was one, and never offer her a deal, until she practically begged for one.
as if she were beneath inclusion or notice for a deal. Her mentality was worse than Carla's or Valeria's. What he'd done for them wouldn't work here. Chaining his thoughts to the moment, he read his orders.
"Well, fuck me," Alex said, rolling the letter back up and shoving it into the tube.
"No thanks," Nanny said.
"That's all right. I haven't gotten you your tag or uniform yet, Five. I'll work on that next," Alex said. Then he looked around. "Ah, Max." The man looked up at the call. Nanny was growling something under her breath, her hands flexing as she stared dangerously at Alex.
"Orders. Real stupid, real simple. Charge," Alex said, then flicked the tube at the man when he got closer, ignoring Nanny completely.
"Seems our own right flank didn't do so well. Now we all get to go up over the top, as it were," Alex said.
"Fool's errand. It'll be as bad as they gave us. Let's see what we can do about it. Is there anything out there in that field of death that could give us cover that I can't see from here?"
"Aw," Max said, still reading the orders.
"Sire, there's a small shrub forest off the side of their right flank. Doesn't look like much from here. We could probably hide 100 men in it, but that's about it," David said as he walked up.
"We'll use that. Get the conscripts settled up and strengthen their second line with veterans from the heavy foot. We'll march them out to the front and let the enemy think we're coming. We'll stop well short of the goal.
Do they have any archers, by the way?"
"They did, but apparently my brother burned their entire cache of arrows. I imagine they may have gotten some ammo from others, but unlikely," David said with a grin.
"Too costly."
"Perfect. Then, yes, we'll stop short of the goal and near the shrub forest. Have the archers behind our line and just start pelting them with every arrow they can fire."
"They'll send their best down to fight us after that bloody nose we gave them yesterday," Max said, looking up from the paper now.
"Perfect. Let them hit us. Then drive those 100 troopers into their flank. Let's see how much we can carve out of them. I admit we'll lose some conscripts, but that's the nature of war. Let's at least armor them appropriately and give them a fighting chance. Use the equipment from the dead enemies," Alex said, waving a hand backward towards their supply camp.
"Lots of those available."
David and Max nodded their heads energetically.
"And after that?" they asked.
"After that, we retreat. No need to give chase. Not in those flatlands. We'll have obeyed our orders, cost our enemy, and done our job. I suppose we could just keep firing arrows into their camp instead. They won't come back out, I bet. I imagine they're tired of getting their asshole kicked in with our boot."
"I sure would be," David said.
Alex was watching from the defensive line. In the end, they'd sent 75% of their forces on this mission. The remaining 25 held the fortifications and protected the wounded and supplies, just in case. Looking off to his right, Alex realized most of his compatriots did not share the same paranoia. Every camp was empty.
"Master, you don't fight like the others," Riley said, squirming up to his side.
"I suppose I don't, at that."
"You trick them. You don't fight them head-on. I think they would call it dishonorable," she continued.
"Couldn't care less.
History is written by the victor. I plan to be that victor," Alex said with a shrug, looking back out to his smudge of conscripts on the far side.
"Hard to believe there's a shrub forest out there. Just looks like a bit of bush."
"The hills roll. It's a strange place," Carla said.
"And you'd know this because..."
"Good hideout. The hills roll," Carla said, turning to face him with a smile.
Snorting at that, Alex grinned.
"You and Five are awful."
"Five?" Riley asked, her fingers tightening on his sleeve.
"I'm not Five, you bastard," Nanny said from the other side of him.
"Course not Five. Oh, I ordered your collar and tag. It's a pure silver tag, just like the rest. I did get you a black leather collar, though. I thought it would suit you.
Since I started feeding you so well, your complexion and skin have really gotten quite pretty.
Not gonna wear it. Make you eat it, fucker, said the murderess sharply.
Of course you are, Five. Of course. Anyways, is Three keeping our guests entertained?
She tied them all up to one another and threw a tarp over them, Carla said.
Whatever works, Alex said, dismissing the subject. He didn't really care how Valeria kept them occupied. He could just barely make out the scene down there. Across the whole of the line, Duke Tenulf's people were charging headlong into the enemy. Except for Alex's people. They were standing far enough away that they couldn't be reached in a rapid charge. It wasn't clear, but he got the impression his archers were just unloading relentlessly on their targets. For the last hour, in fact, this had been the state of affairs.
"Think our people will run out of arrows before the idiots decide to attack us?" Carla asked.
"Maybe. If that's the case, fine. I'll take Tanulf being angry at me if he likes. Though I think he'll have other problems," Alex said, pointing at an entire line of friendly troops breaking away from the melee.
"Goodness," Riley said softly. "Master, does that mean our troops should pull back?"
"Maybe. Depends on if the enemy pushes. If they just sit there, we should be fine. But that's not likely."
"There they go, the dumb fuckers," Nanny said.
Looking back to his people, Alex saw the enemy had started off at a trot towards his conscript line. Then the two lines locked together. Thankfully, it seemed the enemy only had enough troops to meet Alex's line, and nothing more to wrap around. That, or they were expecting more tricks back at their remaining supplies. Smiling, Alex wondered how bad it was over there. He imagined they were having a hard time of it, doubting themselves at every opportunity. Then David and Max came flying out of nowhere, it seemed, crashing into the flank and rear of the enemy. Within a handful of breaths, the enemy was surrounded to a man, wrapped up from front to back.
"And now it's the butcher's work," Nanny said, a strange lilt creeping into her voice.
"Unfortunately," Alex said, "need to work on that, Five. Your bloodlust is a bit on the high side. Think you want to channel that elsewhere? I have a perfect suggestion."
"I will pull out your guts, stuff 'em, and eat 'em," Nanny said, looming over him.
Alex reached up and idly patted her cheek.
"I'll stuff you later, and you can eat me after. For now, let's see what happens. If you're an especially good girl, Five, I might let you watch over any prisoners we take. I'll even let you mercy kill any that are beyond saving."
Nanny looked like she was going to pop from rage, her breaths coming in great heaving gasps. There was a strange lull in the fighting, and then the entire mob of people shifted. Then, amazingly, the conscripts and the enemy all started back toward Alex. The Heavyfoot, Lightfoot, and archers remained in the field.
"Seems we will indeed have prisoners. Shame we can't strip their dead out there in the field. Their gear might be worth hauling back," Alex said.
David and Max then surprised him. They moved a trot parallel to the enemy line, but towards their supply camp. Almost immediately, the entire line shifted to match his people's movement. So much so that the end of their line fractured, giving whoever was on the right side of Alex an easy flank to try and turn. David and Max continued to push deeper up the side of the enemy, almost forcing the enemy's line to bend back upon its own rear now. Finally, his men paused and started working at something else.
"Whatever are you adaptive men up to?" Alex said, watching.
"They seem to like your form of fighting, Master," Riley said, ever clinging onto his arm. "Any good soldier would prefer to trick the enemy than fight them."
"Tactics just haven't changed from en masse and charge, it seems." Pinpoints of light were suddenly visible among his men. In the next second, flaming arrows had been launched deep into the enemy's rear, even reaching as far as into the next liege levy.
"Oh, that's fun," Alex said appreciatively.
I'm sure that'll panic quite a few people if they manage to hit something flammable.
A portion of the enemy line broke off and charged Alex's line. From this distance, it looked like snow landing on a hot rock. The people just melted away as they crashed into his troops, falling to the ground.
I doubt the Duke will be happy with us, but we might be the only group to have turned our enemy, and their elites, no less, Alex said.
I never figured you as one to understand war, Carla said.
I don't. Not really, at least. A plan, sure. Battle, no.
A long, high note came from far off to his right. It was the signal to pull back and regroup. Breaking off easily and quickly, Max and David started back towards the safety of their fortified position.
Suppose I should go put on my best ass-chewing clothes. I'm sure the Duke will be displeased with me on some level.
Max and David continued on their way back to their positions, completely unhindered. It was clear to anyone that the dear Count Frennis wanted nothing more to do with them today.
Master, I think that's Daniel, Riley said, pulling at his arm that was wedged between hers.
Glancing over, Alex watched as Daniel carried a frantically writhing sack into his tent, then came back out and headed in his direction.
Ah, it seems my evening's entertainment was acquired. Delightful. Looks like you're off the hook tonight, Five.
I'll fucking end you and rub one out on your corpse, Nanny shouted, her lips nearly pressed to the side of his head.
Turning his head, he quirked a brow at her.
Try not to shout in my ear. That did cause me harm. Would hate to see you lose your soul over something so simple. You know, your eyes are rather pretty. Now back up, or are you waiting for a kiss? Alex asked her.
Nanny shot upright, her nostrils flaring.
I've killed and eaten men for less, she said.
Welcome to eat part of me, like I said. No killing, though, Five.
Sir, said a voice behind him.
The Duke would like to see you immediately.
Glancing over his shoulder, he saw the same peacock from earlier.
No change of clothes, then.
The talk the Duke had with him was more or less what he'd expected, though with one surprise. The Duke's other vassals didn't seem to agree with him. More than one seemed poised to say something, but didn't. Apparently, even the Duke had noticed the change, and had suddenly broken off his tirade. Which was rather fortuitous, when the next man to stand read out how their forces stood, and what they knew of the enemy. And in that summary, Alex was given his reprieve. Count Frennis had less than 100 men left. The elite right of the enemy had been broken. Adding to that, he'd been shifted off the line, with another group to take his place.
After that, the Duke ended the meeting rather quickly, Alex said, finishing up the story to Riley.
Master's achievements are visible to all, she said, moving in close to him and wrapping up his arm again.
Well, at least my not failure, Now, you do have to release me, Juan. I need to go speak with my guest, Alex said, indicating the tent.
Riley nodded, letting go of him.
You can come in, just like last time, okay?
She nodded her head again. I'll be quiet.
Good.
Moving past Carla and Nanny, who were at the front of the tent, Alex stepped inside. Mary was sitting at a table, her arms angrily folded in front of her chest.
You said you'd let me go, she said, her body practically shaking with rage.
I did let you go, Alex said, walking over and sitting down at the table with her. Even gave you a horse. You can't blame me that you managed to get caught again.
Using my niece against me? Where is she? Are you abusing her as well?
Not at all. She's been provided everything she needs to survive. Not a soul has harmed her. I haven't even talked to her, Alex said.
Then he smiled at her. Mary didn't deign to reply, but her shoulders had gone immobile and stiff.
Shall we speak of another deal? I'd enjoy speaking with you more at length, you know, Alex said, setting his elbow on the table and leaning on it.
You're the devil, Mary said between her teeth.
Maybe, maybe not. Let's just say I was infatuated with having you.
that I desired to spend more time with you and wanted your company, that I was willing to do what I had to do, even send men to their deaths to see you. Now, are you willing to deal?" Mary looked off to the side, her chin sinking down slowly, her cheeks holding a faint blush to them. "And what for now?" she asked. "I have little to offer any more that you haven't already had. My worth is... I have no worth." "I disagree. I think you have great worth. As to what you have to offer, I'd give you the same deal as last time," Alex said. "Let me enjoy a nice meal with you, spend time with you, learn more about you, talk with you, give you the attention you deserve, entertain you in a way fitting your loveliness, and take some of your personal time for myself, as if it were precious. A fine wine to be treasured and enjoyed. Then take you to bed and treat you like the wonderful woman you are, just like last time. Come the morning, I'll put you on a horse and send you on your way. And my niece remains with me, but I'll swear to treat her positively instead of neutrally, if it helps, with a hint of kindness instead of neutral emptiness, and to ensure her well-being daily, exactly as I've been doing up to this point, just with a touch more effort, and how I'll continue to do, even if you decline my deal, treating her as minor nobility. You can, of course, always say no. Nothing untoward will happen to you or your niece, even if you say no, and you'll both receive all the courtesies of your station." Mary shook her head, her chin dipping down to her chest. "I agree," she murmured. Chapter 22 Alex let his eyes stray from person to person around the room. Each and every one of them in here was a member of the peerage, knights, barons, counts, and even a duke. This was Duke Tanulf's ever-self-important evening meeting to discuss the Marl's plans, and how he'll bungle everything we earn at every step of the way.
"Expect everyone here to be in their camps, killing their damn horses if they're the last creature standing. Anyone not pushing for all they're worth will be deemed dishonorable and face punishment. This goes double for you, Count Britt," the Duke roared, turning on Alex.
Looking up at the Duke, Alex waited without a word.
"You'll have every soldier in your command on the field and pushing into that enemy line. Do you understand?"
"Certainly, my lord. I'll break their elite troops. Again," Alex said. The silence after his words was deafening. Everyone in the room seemed to be looking from Alex to Tanulf and back again. For his part, Alex sat there, unmoving, unflinching, uncaring. The Duke, on the other hand, looked as if he were about to suffer an aneurysm, or so Alex thought, based on the color of his forehead and the veins protruding from it.
"Yes," Tanulf said, spit practically leaping from his mouth with the word, "do that."
Turning his back to Alex, he walked towards the map of the battlefield and stared into it, as if the answers to his problems lay there. Which they did, of course. He just didn't seem to have the wherewithal to grasp them. Tactics and strategy seem sadly lacking here. It's all just mass and charge, honor and retarded notions of chivalry. Barely managing to suppress a sigh, Alex waited.
"By our accounts, the Baron of Tilly is dead, killed by your men during the action. His wife has been sent to the far rear, and her uncle has taken complete control," Tanulf said, pointing at Alex's section.
"Understood. Is there anything we should expect from their troop composition that would be different? Or is it mostly the same as,
does it matter? Just get in there and fight them,"
the Duke hissed, glaring at Alex across the table. Somehow, Alex didn't respond. Instead, he stared back at the Duke, waiting. After some time had passed and the Duke realized Alex obviously wasn't going to respond, he moved on to his next point.
Alex already forgotten. In truth, Alex had already leapt subjects in his mind and was trying to figure out what to do next, especially since he's forcing me to take all my troops in. Nothing to leave behind to guard our supplies, wounded, and camp support. Foolish. At least, Alex thought morbidly, one way or the other, this'll probably be the end of this shit show. 3, Alex said, ducking into his tent.
Yes, master, she asked.
She was perched on the end of his bed, Mary's niece sitting at a table nearby. She looked quite similar to her aunt, so much so that one would wonder if they weren't much more closely related. He'd put her somewhere at 14, give or take a year. I need to know if you can deliver a letter. First, though. 1.
Here, master, Riley said, stepping out from where she'd been standing along the wall.
Could you please take our guest somewhere else? I'm afraid I need to have a bit of a discussion with 3.
Of course. Come, let's go for a walk and let your food digest, Riley said, holding her hand out to the young woman.
Riley and the girl left, leaving him with Valeria. Nanny and Carla both stood at the entryway.
A letter? Valeria asked curiously.
Indeed. I need to know first, can you get into Count Frenis's support camp without being compromised? If you can't get in and out of that location without being caught or harmed, it isn't worth it. So, first up, can you do that?
Valeria thought for a second, then nodded her head. I believe I can at that. I take it you want me to deliver something to our little baroness?
Am I that easy to read?
No, it's just the only person you'd deliver a letter to, idiot master, Valeria said, grinning at him.
Alex thought on that, then shrugged.
Fair.
Anyways, moving to his desk, he pulled out his quill and inkpot and a piece of parchment. He wrote a quick note, then blotted it with sand, folded it, and held it out to Valeria.
You can read it if you want. It's straightforward enough, Alex said.
Flicking it open with a wrist snap, Valeria glanced down at it.
Would you care to make another deal with me tomorrow? Same terms, Valeria said aloud, then looked back to him. I take it we're attacking tomorrow.
Unfortunately, and as stupidly as possible, again. Not much to be done for it.
And you think she might get captured and, well, not recognized as a noblewoman until far too late?
Valeria asked, keeping her phrasing polite. More or less. Can you do it?
Of course. What do I get for this?
Not sure. Think on it and we'll figure out something later. Alex still had a trump card on her. He hadn't promised her to let her retain her position once the campaign ended. Same card he had on Riley. This was definitely not the time to offer that up either. Valeria shook her head with a smile.
No. Terms now, unless you're ordering me to do this. At which point,
she left it open, tapping the letter against her chin. Fine, we'll discuss terms now, but you won't be sharing this newfound strategy of yours with the others, and that is an order. Is there something you want right now?
Valeria frowned, looking up to the tent ceiling. I could use a couple of planned days off, actually. I end up working almost every day right now. I imagine that might change in the future with my apprentices, but still.
Granted, consider it vacation time. 5 days a year, every year. Anything else?
Alex turned to his table and started to draft up orders for David and Max, giving them instructions on the expectations the Duke had. In addition, he included that he wanted them to use his personal tactics of evasion, subterfuge, and indirect attacks.
No, that's fine. Thank you, Master. I'll set out after nightfalls. I should be back tomorrow. Hopefully before the brawl gets underway.
Do give my regards to 2 when she services you on her knees tonight, Valeria said. An evil light glowed in her eyes as she walked away.
Alex blinked, looked up from his desk, and then grinned. Oh, right, tonight. That's great, Alex said, turning around to the tent flap. Hey, 2, come on over here.
We should have a quick chat.
Nanny suddenly let out a chuckle.
Fuck you, you blood-drenched psycho, Carla said immediately over Alex's head at the other woman. You do enough of that with him. Don't need me there, Nanny shot back.
I swear to the gods, I'll make it so you spend